guess what? Some abusive, violent criminals got released early, and some criminals who weren't supposed to be released early got released early. So the whole thing's a blubbing mess. And I mean, we've all said it was a stupid idea to begin with. It seems to me this government is either incredibly incompetent or just evil. I've not really decided which one it is yet. I can't discern that.
As Ben Habib said today when he was talking about it, he was like, you know, does Waheed Ali own the Labour Party? I was like, no, it's a Labour Party. He owns the government. He owns the country. Because if that guy's got an Access All Areas pass, like you did at Tucker Carlson when you left me forever. If he's got an Access All Areas VIP pass at Downing Street, and Keir's doing the stuff from, you know, Waheed's flat while telling everyone to lock down, I'm like, and then he's going, my dad was a tool maker, and my first thought this morning when I woke up was like, what sort of tools did your dad make, Keir? Are you tooled up now? I literally think every time I think it with Biden and I think it with the left in Britain, I just think, you lot are a mafia family. Welcome to another episode of Fox and Father, with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father. You used to start with a smoke hoop. Now you're just like...
I haven't even had a cigar. So... No, don't laugh.
I can't stop.
You can't start with the patronizing laugh, Cal. You've got like a little stained glass window outside of your framing. You've got, is that Mary with Jesus on that's your...
Theater, yeah.
Oh, what have I got? A couple of lights and a cigar, which I'm smoking because I haven't had a cigar since I saw you, because you left.
I've got some cigars. I need to bring them into church.
Yes. Okay. You asked me how I am. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm good. I made a decision today. So quite a difficult day yesterday. What with one thing and another, work-wise and personally, family stuff. It was difficult. So I thought, when I get back to the country, I'm going to go and have a sleep. That's what I'm going to do. And then I got back to the country and I thought, if you have a sleep, you're not going to sleep very well tonight. So I've started to get this little niggling thing coming into my head. It's like, if you have a nap, you're not going to sleep well tonight. So
that's,
I was like,
good.
No, I love a nap. I'm a big fan of a nap. But instead, what I did was I tried, I don't know if you can hear the wind around this house, but I decided I'd rake up all the leaves and re-sow a section of garden. So I did some manual labor, which is actually much better for me. So I feel better than I would have had a nap. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. Doing good. I'm going to go to the gym after this as well. I would also like to have a nap. I am feeling shattered today, but I agree. Having some physical exercise is actually better. Get the testosterone pumping.
How is the woke gym?
It's actually quite peaceful. There's always plenty of machines to use. It's actually a nice experience. You know?
Can you get a t-shirt with a little dog collar on it?
I wore one on my first day in Skiathos for first year. I've got one somewhere.
Worked
out in a collar. It does need evangelizing. It does need it. I haven't seen any kind of blue-haired freaks or any trannies or anything. But
did you see the thing in McDonald's today? McDonald's. Sorry, Coke.
I saw the Coke thing. Yeah, you can call your can of Coke anything. Allah, Muhammad, Buddha. You cannot call it Jesus.
Satan. You can call it Satan as well.
Of course, Satan's inoffensive, but Jesus, whoa, steady on.
Why do they hate Jesus so much, Cal?
Because he is the truth, the way, and the life. Mm. That's it.
Okay, usually before we do our Fox and Follows, we discuss what we're going to talk about, but because we haven't.
Well, I got installed between last episode and this episode, so we had a little, we had a mass, and we had a celebration, a reception in the church. That was nice, that was good fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm officially the priest here now, which is nice. It's St. Paul's Grand Rapids, which is in West Michigan, if anyone wants to come to church. It's Sunday, 10 a.m. It's Michaelmas this week.
You're tied in there now. You're even deeper connected. I
took my bishop to the Tucker Carlson show that night as well.
That was a good one. Tell us about Tucker. I saw a picture on the internet of like Tucker Carlson, some other famous people, and then a very scary tall bloke in a dog collar. And I was like, I know that dude. And it was you. What happened? So tell me. Tell us all.
The show was great.
Was he with? Who was it that night?
So first, Tucker gives his speech from the platform, which was spot on, very political, very to the point. Then he sits down on his sofas. He had Kid Rock that night. Now, I didn't know much about Kid Rock's music or anything, but there were loads and loads of Kid Rock fans in the audience. And I thought, this is going to be good. And he didn't disappoint. He is he's like you. He's like a very bold, kind of like straight to the point, doesn't mess around. He swears too much, but he's got a good heart. And he kept bringing it back to family and Jesus, which I really appreciated. So I didn't get there on time to do the VIP stuff and photos and stuff like that because I had church events, which was wonderful. But then we nipped back to the green room to say hello, me and the bishop, to Tucker and Kid Rock. And that was really nice. So I gave Tucker one of my pipes, my Common Sense Crusade pipes, which are on the culture stores.
Which is up and running.
Yeah, and I had a quick chat with Kid Rock, and I said, oh, you guys must be tired, so we'll leave you to it. Thank you for saying hello, and you know, you've been working hard and stuff. And Kid Rock was like, well, we're going to go and eat. You've got to eat, right? Come and eat. I was like, okay, cool. So we went for dinner and drinks with Kid Rock and Tucker Carlson. It was a wildness. It was so fun. I think I've got some videos. I can't show them because Tucker's going to put them in his behind-the-scenes coverage, but essentially, there's me and Kid Rock having a cigar, and he starts singing this this Jesus music. I don't even know how to describe, like gospel music. We're just vibing. It was epic. We had a bit of a sing song and a bit of a dance and just a good time. It was a nice welcome to Grand Rapids.
That is the best welcome ever to Grand Rapids, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean that is, yeah, I told you in a former episode of Fox and Father before you deserted me and left me alone all by myself with no love and no friends in my life. Before you did that, I told you America was going to be good for you.
And you've already,
look at you. You're in your church. You've been, what's the word? What's the official word?
Incarnated or installed. Yeah.
Incarnated, installed. You've been hanging out with Tucker and Kid Rock. You're going to forget who I am. I'll be waving at you. I'll be going, Calvin!
Calvin! I remember that guy. What was it?
And we'll be like, you'll be like, give him a t-shirt or something, just make him go away.
No. You're coming over, man. I don't know why you're pretending you're not coming over.
I am coming over. I'm just trying to get flights sorted out. I've had such a mission of a week with one thing and another. But okay, so that's cool. So you're installed, you're there, you feel you're on it. You're
bang on it. The people are just so nice and welcoming out here. It's wonderful. It's just all a different vibe. There's more optimism and hope. Yeah, it's good.
Are there any sausages that need releasing? Or
the sausages have already been released. Keir Starmer's released all the sausages, some by mistake, it seems.
Okay, can you talk me quick? You know, I want you to use the deepest, darkest depths of your brain to talk me through that Freudian slip. Go.
Nobody wants the deepest, darkest depths, but Keir Starmer said, let's release the sausages. When he was talking about releasing the hostages, he was trying to talk about foreign affairs. But it's funny because actually he obviously has this policy to release prisoners early. And guess what? Some abusive, violent criminals got released early. And some criminals who weren't supposed to be released early got released early. So the whole thing is a blubbing mess. And I mean, we've all said it was a stupid idea to begin with. It seems to me this government is either incredibly incompetent or just evil. And I've not really decided which one it is yet. I can't discern that, but I can think anyone it's be just, this incompetent?
I just think that government, generally, is a place for people who couldn't get a job anywhere else. A bit like acting. You couldn't get a job anywhere else because they'd be
At least acting, there's a skill and a talent. The people that I was staying with the other night, they watched a film. Magnificent Flying Machine. That guy looks familiar.
Yeah, that is it.
That handsome, posh-looking guy looks very familiar.
It's a great movie, those Magnificent Men and Their Flying Machines. My dad is such a good actor.
Bless him.
So nice. Yeah, that is nice. Bless him. I saw him yesterday actually. I went to go and have lunch with a lawyer, because that's what I spend most of my life doing. And I was sort of listening to his lawyer, and then I just saw this sort of little flop of grey hair wander past, and went, hang on a minute, my father. I went to say hello, but he was with some very serious people, and I think that they were like, geez, I get your son, right? So it was like that. But I think the political types get into power. I want to break this down because I think it's worth breaking down. Yeah. Keir Starmer is talking, I call him Weird Starmer now. See, he is just weird. Someone who let someone else buy knickers for his wife, and it's just that it just feels sick whenever I think about him. So I think he's just weird. So
it's a weird guy. Picture of him kissing his wife on the internet this week, which is a weird picture. I mean,
I know, but that's
like they've never kissed each other before. It's strange.
No, but okay. I mean, that I am on Keir's side for.
What?
Because I'll tell you why.
Go on.
When you are famous. And you get paparazzoed. It's not like one shot. They take it's like a live on your phone. You know, you can take like a stream of shots. And newspapers, by their very nature, will choose one that looks the most awkward and the most dreadful and the most terrible. So I think
the newspapers on your side.
No, the newspapers aren't on any. I mean, that's the weird thing. Actually, the newspapers aren't on anyone's side. So they used to be on Keir Starmer's side, now they're going to get him with all the sleeves. And they, like, all the newspapers do is just destroy everyone. Anyway, that's a separate issue. What I want to know is he's talking about releasing Jewish hostages from after the best part of a year. It'll be a year in not long now. And he swaps hostages for sausages. Now, the actor in me goes, forgive him, hostages, they sound similar. But there is a glottal stop in hostage. So you glottal stop it. So it's your brain does not
right,
go
so it's
there.
Not, it's not hostages, right?
Yeah. Your brain, there you go, I'm doing it myself. Your brain doesn't, it's weird when you think about language as well, because you develop a speech impediment. But your brain does not go to sausages. It could go hostages to, postages or something like anything with a glottal stop in it, but it doesn't have a glottal stop. So he was either thinking about lunch or he was thinking about what was he thinking? What made him say it? Or am I overthinking it?
I don't know. I just automatically assumed it's anti-Semitism. The sausages aren't kosher.
When in doubt, I go to anti-Semitism.
I just thought it was very strange. The whole thing was strange. And then he had that headline of, the government wants to take back control of people's lives. I was like, wait, huh? So say that again. You want to do what? No. We want the government to get out of our lives. We don't want you to take control of our lives. Go away.
Yeah, he's got this very weird lingo here. Weird, actually, I'm just going to call him. So he's like, talks about sausages. He did his lockdown addresses from Waheed's
Mr. Ali.
Flat, his Covent Garden penthouse, of which, you know, Waheed Ali, when I was acting and when I was allowed to get paid money, but as long as I didn't say what I thought. Waheed Ali, I was invited to his summer party every single year. And for some reason, just because someone said he's a Labour Party donor, and I had no idea about politics at this juncture, I was too young, I was just like, no, I don't want to go. And I never, ever went. But that guy pretty much owns Britain. We got a 1.2 million donation. We got Keir Starmer sitting there going, my son needs to revise. It's like, he's doing lockdown stuff from Waheed's flat while telling everyone else to stay at home. It's like, it's unbelievable corruption in this country.
Why? Why is he so tied to this Waheed guy? I don't get it. Why is he funding him? Why is he taking it? Like, what does Keir get out of this relationship?
Well, I'm gonna offer the best possible solution, best possible explanation that I can, which is that I think Waheed Ali is probably a social justice warrior. So I think he probably came onto people's radars. I certainly know from the encounters I've had with people that I've encountered with him, you know, certainly in show business. A lot of people get really rich in show business, don't they? And they start going, oh, I've got to do something. I've got to, like, give something back because I've just made so much money. And I think that that's where it comes from. And people misdirect it. You know, they really misdirect it. So I don't know with Waheed, but I do certainly know that, as Ben Habib said today when he was talking about it, he was like, you know, does Waheed Ali own the Labour Party? I was like, no, it's not the Labour Party. He owns the government. He owns the country. Because if that guy's got an access all areas pass, like you did at Tucker Carlson when you left me forever. if he's got an access all areas VIP pass at Downing Street, and Keir's doing the stuff from, you know, Waheed's flat while telling everyone to lock down, I'm like, and then he's going, my dad was a tool maker. And my first thought this morning when I woke up was like, what sort of tools did your dad make, Keir? Are you tooled up now? I literally think there, every time I think it with Biden and I think it with the left in Britain, I just think, you lot are a mafia family. So Waheed Ali is buying everyone's wives' pants. Keir Starmer's doing, like,
just Keir Starmer's wife.
No, I reckon he's buying everyone's wives' pants. I really do. He's 1.2 million quid to that person, Taylor Swift concert to that one. And the way that they sit there, these entitled little loves. I'm not going to do this very angry loves because it's better if I don't. But the way they sit there and went, well, it's really hard because my kids really wanted to go to that one.
Well, it's just the hypocrisy of all, isn't it? Because when the Conservatives were in government, the Labour Party were like, oh my gosh, they're taking all these freebies, they're corrupt, blah, blah, blah. And now the Labour Party are in government and they're like, oh yeah, freebies, great, let's have some. Like, what have you been talking about this whole time?
Well, I might need to join the church. So I just go like, yeah, what did you expect? It's human corruption.
Yeah, but I mean, Boris Johnson has, or Carrie has this horrible wallpaper done and someone has to pay for it. And rather than getting taxpayers to pay for it, they get someone else to pay for it. And the Labour Party kick off, oh, donors paying for decorating 10 Downing Street. Like, okay. And then the Labour Party get in and like, oh, £40 million here. Let's have a helicopter there. You know, premier tickets here. It's like, what massive hypocrites.
Yeah. Do you think that it's going to... Do you think it's a preordained media attack on Keir when they knew when the right wing... I mean, the press tends to be a bit right wing, I think.
No, I don't think they are. And it doesn't really seem like much of an attack to me. It's just like the news is out there and people are talking about social media, but I don't think they're gunning for it. I don't think the media is gunning for him.
How important do you think social media is nowadays?
I mean, it's important because it's the only way we can have a voice. And I don't mean me and you, I mean we as the people in general can have a voice against the establishment. But I don't know how important it is in influencing and change and policy and stuff that shapes our country.
Okay, so, well, policy again is like, there is no policy, is there? So, you know, Giorgio Meloni says, if you arrive in Italy, illegally, you will be deported immediately. Simple message. Richard Tice actually has been very good on this stuff. I mean, ever since Nigel took over, Richard's got like a sort of new lease of death, life, you know, whatever it is. But he's been like, no, there's an international maritime treaty, you send them back. And if you don't send them back, we'll send them back. You know, and I sort of...
I can't believe it's like Gwynne. That's outrageous.
Talk me through Gwynne, because I came across Gwynne a few times and I follow him on social media and he often posts these like beautiful pictures of various places and like cryptic, poetic. He seems like he was called in the media, he was called the true amateur of British politics. And I think that's actually one of the biggest pieces of biggest compliments you could ever pay someone, to be an amateur of politics.
I agree. He's just a man who loves his country. You're right. He goes around churches up and down the country, just exploring and taking photographs of them. But he has been Farage's bag holder for the last 20 odd years. Well, throughout all of this, he's been his sidekick the entire time. He's always had his back. He's as loyal as you can get. And loyalty is gold, as you know, especially in politics. So it's a great shame to see them just disregard him because he's not politically correct, or, you know, he's not a polished image. It's quite sad.
So he has said, please don't abandon reform and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, he's still thinking the party line.
But is that a good thing? I mean, is that a Christian thing? Is that a noble thing to say, I've been persecuted, but I choose to carry on supporting the people that persecute me? Or is that weak? Or what do you think?
No, I think it's very graceful of him. I think he's probably had to sign an NDA. Because Ben Habib's hinted at that. And Ben Habib was the one who broke the news and kind of said, look, what they're doing to Gwayne is wrong. So well done to him for that. But I think Gwayne has taken the high road and said, I'm not going to besmirch the party that I've worked hard for, even if they're treating me like scum. I'm still a supporter. And well done to him for that. I don't know if it'd be my approach, but it's certainly a noble approach.
Yeah. What did you make of Ben Habib's statement about reform? Did we talk about that last week?
I think so, yeah. No.
Right. So I spoke to Ben again.
Okay.
I don't want to divulge too much of it, but I think that it might be difficult. But Zia Yusuf, this man with nothing, come from nowhere, no idea who the guy is at all. And I must stop following them on Instagram because I've got this sort of guilt thing of following people that follow me. And BBC Question Time had him on tonight. So a guy that is, you know, we're all having a pop at Lord Waheed Ali and all that stuff. But Zia Yusuf is on Question Time this evening. What's he ever done?
Well, he's paid his way into it, hasn't he? He's bought his ticket.
Which is the problem with reform.
One of the problems with reform, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other problem is that he's a Mohammedan. That's a bigger problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think in the same way as, you know, I think we don't want to fall down the Steve Ball's trap of being like, you know, you've got to be one thing. But
no,
I certainly
Steve Laws
think
is more right than wrong. I don't think it's good for a Mohammedan to be the chairman of the party that's supposed to be on the right of British politics. If you're conservative in England, generally speaking, you should be Christian.
But it grated with me with what's his face? What's that guy, the small one who used to be the Prime Minister? Sunak. He's got his own religion. And I was like, no, just have our religion. Come on. Can we not just get on and do that in our own country? But who knows, man? Who knows? I find the whole thing... I had some very insider information at that reform conference, and they said it was like a sort of Butlins camp of like really positive thoughts, and then this constant desire to say we're professionalizing our party. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you professionalizing yourself?
Well, they want to polish, don't they? They want the established look. They want to be part of the mainstream. And I can see why. They want to get the mass votes, but at the same time, they've got to be careful how they do it. Because if they push away people like Gwayne, and, you know, they're already pushing away Katie Hopkins and Tommy and probably you and I, but not that we've been bothered to get involved. But if they push away people who aren't generally and genuinely on the right, then they won't have their core demographic. So you can't reach out to the masses whilst disregarding your core. It's stupid. That's just poor politics.
It is. And I wonder if it's a sort of, you talk about people that have been chucked away on our side. I don't think it's the right either, because I don't think it's right.
You've got to give it a word.
I mean, you know, in sort of shorthand, it's right. And in longhand, it's right because it's right. This idea of going, so UKIP have done today, they've said, you know, we welcome Tommy and we welcome Katie Hopkins. And, you know, even Carl, who's a very, you know him and I know him, he's a much more less provocative, more moderate figure.
Oh, yeah, he's very reasonable. Absolutely.
And he is, but he was destroyed when the media took him on. For UKIP. So, like, is there a barrier to entry that we cannot, but the truth cannot get past? Is there a barrier to entry if you decide that you're going to say, this is real, this is true, and therefore they just go, that may very well be so, good Lord. But out you go. I mean,
people make the boundaries. People want to play by the rules that are already set rather than just putting that game away and getting another game out. Like, it's corrupt. It's designed against the truth. It's designed against ordinary folks. It's designed in favor of the elite and the establishment. So if you play by their rules, then you're going to become elite and establishment and against the people, rather than just keep doubling down, keep going through it, keep sticking to the truth. And I think people will be attracted to that. And, like, don't professionalize your party. Make it a proper party with members, but don't professionalize it. Don't polish it. Don't become establishment, because people are sick and tired of establishment, which is one of the reasons they turned to you in the first place. So I just think their approach is bad.
I agree. I think it's wrong. I don't think it's the right way. And also, I've noticed that Tommy and Tommy's proxies are very, you know, are starting to be more vocal about that, because it's, you know, how long can you turn around and say this person is wonderful when that person says that you're dreadful? It's like marriage guidance counseling. If one of the partners doesn't want to be married, then, you know, that's an issue. You've got to not be married anymore. So I've noticed that Tommy's done that. Do you think the UKIP are an alternative here?
I think it's the only party that's going that actually has Christian values explicitly and is small C conservative and unafraid of all these issues. They're able to talk about immigration. The Islam problem.
But did you see Lois Perry's latest tweet?
Lois Perry's not in the UKIP.
Oh, she's not?
No. She's a lovely lady, but she's not involved in politics. And I think
I thought she was the leader of UKIP.
No, that was ages ago.
Who's in charge now?
Nick Tinconi, your friend.
I love Nick.
Yeah, Nick's a good guy.
I'm not sure I'd put him in charge of a political party, but I do love him.
I think he's the right man for the time. And I think right man for the right time. And I think we need a conservative who's genuinely conservative. We need a man who's very openly, unafraidly, muscular Christian, masculine Christian. And that's what Nick is. That's great. We need more of that.
Oh, look at you. Ping, 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 ping.
It's the only party that I would vote for. It's the only way I could see any hope in British politics, and that has to be a good thing.
But what about if we? The problem with UKIP is it's got a kind of. I love it, by the way, as well. So I kind of agree, but it's got a sort of besmirched bad name.
Good. So it's already got that. This is the problem that Reform have. They're trying to not get that bad name. We can't be seen like the Tories were seen as the nasty party, or we can't be seen like UKIP as anti-immigration, or we've got to be like, no, don't. If you already have that name, you don't have to worry about it anymore. This is the problem with ordinary folks. They're all afraid of being labeled as something like right-wing or far-right or Islamophobic or xenophobic or bigoted or whatever. Like, if people give you that name, so what? Run with it. And then actually people who agree with you will just come on board. And that's how we've got to do it. We've got to be unafraid of these stupid labels and besmirching and tarnishing that the liberals will throw at us, because they're going to do it anyway. Farage seems petrified of it, which is why he can't address the Mohammedan problem. He can't address immigration properly anymore, according to his interview with Steve Edgerton. And he wants to polish his party. This is why it will fail. The only way to succeed is by being true and honest and open. And if they throw muck at us, which they will throw it right back, or just disregard it, but don't run away from it.
I mean, I'm not sure that UKIP is the answer either, to be fair. I have a feeling that what will happen is that something will emerge. And as long as you create the room for it to emerge, it will emerge. I've always been like, as an actor, you do it with a scene. So you turn up in a scene and you've got like a long scene, a three page, two and seven eighth page, and you're like, oh God, can't do that. And that takes 2 days sometimes to do. And you've got to structure it, and you've got to build it, and you've got to make it right. But the best moments come from the bits that aren't planned, the bits that aren't written, the bits that aren't. And I think this constant harking back. I think one of the other things I think is that we need to be more progressive. And when I say progressive, I mean genuinely progressive in defense of progressive values, which Britain has been at the forefront of, which is why Britain is successful.
What are progressive values, Lawrence?
Well, progressive values are tolerance. It's a tolerance of a different point of view, fundamentally. So that ties into the free speech issue. So it's okay for someone to turn around and for me to not get upset that someone turns around and goes, you and I would disagree on the gay issue. But I would go, I think that's quite an achievement in this country. And I would
Why is it
go,
an achievement?
because there are gay people in this country, right? And I don't, as much as I feel, I'm drawn to your argument in the fact that people will, gay people may, there may be something about their homosexuality which is not under their control. So, which would tie into your idea of disorder. I would also say, but they exist and they have existed time immemorial. So I would say, allowing people, two gay men or two gay women, to have, or two same-sex attracted people, to have legal security in the formation of their finances, for example. If they're older and then one of them's going to die, I think that would be a really good thing. And I think that should have the same legal, not spiritual, but legal power as a marriage. I just don't think gay people should be able to get married. I'm just that's where I kind of that's where my fence is, and that's the one I won't sit on. And then in terms of the other progressive values, it's always looking to refine conservatism to say, okay, what is conservatism? So, what's her name? Wolsey. What's her name? Baroness Wolsey. I was just listening to her today going, I'm leaving the conservatives because, they hate the Muslims. And I'm just like, no, but like, you're not leaving the conservatives because they hate the Muslims, which they don't. You're leaving the conservatives because you're not a conservative on any stretch of any metric that anyone could ever weigh up. You are zero conservatism. You're a progressive, and a progressive in the leftist way, which is like, let's just progress everything until it's all broken. Do you know what I mean? Do you get my drift or no?
Yeah, I get your drift. I just disagree. I don't think progressive
Well,
values
it's
are something we should
good, but
strive
it's good
towards.
that we shouldn't agree. It's important we
Sure.
shouldn't agree.
I don't think tolerance is a good value. I think tolerance, we've talked about tolerance before. Whenever we read with tolerance of the Bible, it's saying do not tolerate evil. There is no time when God instructs us to be tolerant. And actually, there's so many things we should be intolerant of. I don't know if it's a value we should hold dear as important, because we live in a society where all ideas are treated as equal, and we're supposed to tolerate everything and everyone and everything that everyone does. And I think we need to go the opposite direction and say we should encourage good behavior, we should encourage good things, and disincentivize disorder and evil and sin.
Yeah, but that's different. That's
Well,
different.
then what are
You're
we tolerating if
already
we're not tolerating good things?
contradicting yourself already because you're going, oh, I don't think tolerance is good. It's in the Bible. You shouldn't tolerate. And then you move very quickly to my position,
No, I'm
which
not in your
is to
position.
say, hang on, Let me finish.
What are we tolerating if I'm...
Shut your mouth.
Steady on.
Like, you moved from tolerance to disincentivizing, which is where I'm at. That's my position.
Then what are you tolerating?
I'm tolerating the fact that there are gay people in this world. And they're gay. And it happens. And
what does that mean? That's such a weak argument.
Why?
I mean, because your argument isn't that something is a good thing or not a good thing. Your argument is a thing is a thing.
Yeah.
Your argument is that exists and has always existed. Well, I mean, without comparing one thing to another, I can say murderers exist, rapists exist, pedophiles exist.
They do.
Exist and have always existed. I don't think we should tolerate them. So saying that they exist isn't a reason to tolerate them.
Oh, man. My mother has just come right into my head. Comparisons are odious.
Yes.
That's what she used to say.
Which is why I'm not making a comparison, but I'm saying there are things that we should not tolerate. But why should we tolerate something just because it exists? Like, there has to be a better reason. This is why I don't think tolerance is the best thing. We should just encourage what's good.
All right. Calm down. How do you work out a moral relative or a moral value? You don't.
That's how you end up in the mess that we're in. Yeah. Our moral compass is given to us. It's a revelation. The moment we try to create our own morality, we end up in the mess that we're in right now.
Yeah. I know where I'm going. I'm looking at other people and going...
What does Johanna say?
Moral compass.
Space. Oh, okay.
I think. And it's got a bit of freedom and space going on there as well. Philip Schofield.
Yeah.
Are you happy for him?
No.
Why?
I don't think he should ever be on television ever again. Why is he going back on TV? This is a guy that found a young preteen child, formed a relationship, groomed him to eventually enter into a relationship with him. He says they never did anything until they were of age, but whatever, that's what grooming is, right?
Yeah.
And he somehow made it all about his sexuality. Oh, I've come out as gay. No, it's not that you're gay. It's not that there's a guy that everyone's upset about, although some people will be. The thing people are upset about is that it was a young guy. You were in a position of influence and power over him, and you groomed him from the time he was a child. And also you cheated on your wife, so it's adultery as well. It's like you left your wife and kids for your bit on the side that happened to be too young for you. Mate, it's all disgusting. It's all shame and degeneracy. And he should repent. He should regret his decision. And he should go and do something quiet with his life, away from the public eye.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I'm with you on the repentance thing. But who are we to judge his repentance?
What do you mean, who are we to judge? This is what we do, right? We judge naturally, but we should judge righteously. And I think it's a righteous judgment to say if you have sinned against your family, your wife, your kids, against the whole of society that you publicized on television, then you should repent for that. But it's not God is the final judge, God is the ultimate judge.
How should he repent?
Well, if his sin was public, I suppose his repentance should be public, but that's up to him. Even if he just repents privately to God, that's great. And I hope he repents to his family and seeks their forgiveness too. I hope they'll find a way to move through it. Fantastic. But we don't need to see him on television ever again. Like, that's not part of forgiveness.
Should I be seen on television ever again?
You should be on every day. Well, what? You haven't groomed any 11-year-old boys, have you?
No, I missed that one.
You were in the wrong clubs in showbiz then.
I do think when I see these things happen, I just go, hang on a minute. So I said that Britain is warm, welcoming, and tolerant, and I call out hypocrite, and I'm unemployable.
Who would want to shag a fourth-wave feminist who hates men? Like,
I agree with that.
It's not a controversial question. And then that's it. Well, even prior to that, you said, don't call me white privileged. I can't help being white and posh. You're a racist. Like, again, what's wrong with that? But yes.
I'm really interested about this because you're very set And, you know, and our relationship is based on the fact that, you know, I really respect that in you, and you kind of chortle about the fact that I'm not, but I am in lots of ways, in the fundamental ways. Oh, a guy came up to me today. Oh, this was quite moving. So I was at Liverpool Street and I was coming back from London because I'd, you know, done my London stuff. And this guy touched me on the shoulder. And you know when someone touches you and you feel their energy come straight into you? And he touched me on the shoulder and he said, "Just, I'm really sorry to bother you, Lawrence. Do you have a second?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Can we go somewhere quiet in Liverpool Street Hard?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm just over there, maybe go and have a cigarette." And he went, "Everything you want to achieve can be achieved, but none of it can be achieved without Christ. None of it." He said, "You're wasting your life arguing these points without Christ. You have to argue these points from Christ." And he said it not in the way that I'm doing, because I'm acting it to you, but he said it in a really, it was very genuine. And when he touched my shoulder, I felt like a spark. So it's sort of food for thought, isn't it? But I mean, so what do I say to the people? So I've been totally let go now by one of my gay friends, who has said your rhetoric is divisive and hateful. And I'm like,
not tolerant to guy, then.
No, I've tolerated him. He doesn't tolerate me. Very good point. And he goes, my rhetoric is divisive and hateful and all this sort of stuff. And I sort of go, okay, well, maybe it isn't the right path, the inclusion path, the tolerance path, and, you know, as you quote lyrically, all that sort of stuff. But I still get stuck with this idea that the fact that there are gay people and there are lesbian people in the world. I mean, you would say that's a disorder that they need to repent of. And then but what you're handing the other side is conversion therapy. So it's like, why would you do that? Surely there is some language in the middle where you can have a very conservative position on something, which is you will not get married. Marriage is between a man and a woman. You will not adopt children.
Slope. There is no grey ground between good and evil. There's no grey between truth and false. And all the time we want to be nice, that so we concede ground until we have no ground left. And the liberals don't do that. Your friend has said you are divisive and hateful. You're not divisive. You're not dividing anyone. You're not hateful. You don't hate him. You love everyone, but you don't agree with him. So he wants to cast you out. So he's not finding middle ground. He's not finding some gray area. Well, maybe Lawrence is conservative on this, but liberal on this, which you are. No, he doesn't care. He wants you to be 100% in line with him or you're done. And that's what they are. But they're on the side of lies and falsehood. They are followers of the father of lies. We have to be followers of our father, the father of truth and goodness and beauty. And then we have to stick to his way, his order, and not bend to theirs.
Him and his husband were the first people that I crossed off the list for the engagement party. They were the first. Because you're good at articulating it, but for me, it was a subconscious thing, or maybe a conscious thing. I was just like, you know what? Why the fuck would I want to celebrate anything with you sitting there in a room judging me? But then that's, again, this sort of issue of, you know, is it our job to judge someone else? Or is it our job just to, like, discard this idea of tolerance? God, you're turning me into a fanatic.
It's not our job to judge, but it's our
job to... I'll be joining UKIP. I'll be joining UKIP before you know it.
Found. Very good. we'll get you in purple by the end of the show.
You're not going to do it just because you're in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I also, by the way, I'd like to criticize you. You use the word pantry.
What's wrong with pantry?
Calvin, you've never used that word before.
I have. We had a pantry in our kitchen.
You had a larder.
Okay. Americanization. That's
And
not because
also,
I've been here.
we both look like
I
P.
still say
Diddy?
wardrobe instead of closet. I still say cutlery instead of silverware.
What? How do you pronounce military?
Monetary.
Military.
Oh, military.
Yeah, not
Military.
mili. Oh, he's gone. We lost him. He's gone. Oh, bro. Okay, what else is there to talk about? What do you want to talk
Is there anything good that's happened this last week?
about? We both look like P. Diddy with our AirPods in.
Don't say that. Oh my gosh.
Well, you look like P. Diddy.
That's racist.
I'm a racist. I can't help it.
You look like someone P. Diddy abused.
You telling me I look like Justin
Oh,
Bieber? I'm taking that as a win. I'm like, thank you.
yeah.
Amen. Did you hear him singing that lonely song? Cool. Lord. Oh, show business is bad
I
and
know, it's grim.
evil.
And Usher's just erased his Twitter account. It's like, oh, okay, what tweets did Usher put out?
Well,
It's sad.
because this is the other thing about this sort of leans back into what you're saying, which is that if you allow a human being to be unfettered, they'll be unfettered in a really dark and evil way. They just will. It's like if you don't understand the knowledge of, okay, so the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The minute you know something's evil and you do it, you're complicit in an evil. In the same way as tolerance is a less kind of expandable version of evil, isn't it? And what you're saying is like, stick to the past, stick to the past, stick to the past, stick to the truth. And I'm kind of trying to find holes in it and not succeeding, which is upsetting me because, fancy myself as a bit of a thinker.
Okay, we can think about these things, but we can't poke holes in the truth. There are no holes in the truth. The truth is solid.
Pretty solid. So what have you got on for the what so what's coming up this
It's
week?
Michaelmas this week, this Sunday. So we've got Mass, St. Michael. I'm going to do a podcast with E tonight, Elijah. So
Yes, he's
that should be good
contacted
fun.
me as well. So
Cool.
I just don't know where I find his posts. I really find him hard to read. Like I don't Do you know what I mean? I don't really know what he thinks about certain things.
He's quite crazy
So,
and erratic, but in a good way. Donald
yeah.
Trump's in town tomorrow. I'm busy, unfortunately, at the shooting range, but it'd be nice to go to one of his rallies.
We've got to go to a rally. I'm going to try and fly up and see you when I'm done, or you should fly down and see us. So I'm going to take the future Mrs. Fox for a bit of like Christian vetting at Larry's. So
Good, good, good.
I'll either come up to you or you come down to me. I can't wait to see you in your position, but I'll just get angry and then be like, why are you here? And I'm all alone with my little light as the light goes down here.
Yeah, I've got to nip back to London soon. I've got people to arrange. So we maybe do another Fox and Father in person.
We got to do one. Well, we should do one here because I'm building that work starts on the studio. I'm going to do a lot more
Great.
broadcasting. Work starts on the studio in a week and a half, and I'm going to do a lot more broadcasting from that point because I think that it's better that I just say what I think on a longer form way than
You
Twitter.
did another WTF as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I like talking to Larry, and because he's older, and he's not. You and I battle over ideas a bit, and we sort of argue a little bit whilst agreeing with each other a lot. Larry just looks at me like some idiot that he needs to train, and that is the laugh of someone who also looks at me as an idiot and someone who needs to train, asshole. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I'm gonna do, and I'm just gonna settle down and get ready for it. Liz said to me this morning, she was like, you do understand that in the winter I completely hibernate. And I'm like, that works for me.
That sounds good. I'm going to need to hibernate out here. It's going to be snowy and it's going to be cold.
Where's Mrs. Robinson?
Huh?
Where's Mrs. Robinson?
Where's my mother? She is at home and she's all right. Thank you for asking. Why have you got this sticking out here? What's this?
What? Where?
Other side. Yeah, that.
Oh, I don't know. I need a haircut. I need a haircut. Sorry. Anyway.
All right.
Well, listen, I love you. And is there anything else we need to cover?
We're so organized, aren't we? We've got such a good plan, and like our schedule for the show is amazing.
Well, no, I like that, though. I've enjoyed this, because we've actually, by having less structure, we've managed to get to a thing where we are a bit tense about, which I think is good. And I think it's good that people do it. Oh, you know what? Do you know what hit $2,000 an ounce today?
Gold.
Gold.
Okay.
Play the clip.
Now, as we come to the end of the show, I did promise you that we had a new sponsor.
Yes.
Sponsoring the Fox and Father show, because apparently this company, Gold Bullion Partners, a few of our listeners have decided that while being faced with the tyranny of potential digital IDs and CBDCs and what where they can keep their money safely without it being removed from the government, they have come up with the idea of gold. Well, this is actually silver.
Well, I've got some gold.
I've got some gold too! but my gold's a little one.
Well, so the problem is your money isn't yours if it's in the bank, and you can't rely on it, you can't trust the banks. So we've got to invest in assets.
No capital gains tax.
That's interesting.
No capital gains tax.
I've got a lot of friends who are buying gold and silver, actually.
Yeah, non-traceable. I'm buying silver because gold's a bit up there for me at the moment. I could probably get one of these. But this is legal tender.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could.
I wouldn't want to spend it, though.
No, I'm just saying.
A lot of places aren't accepting legal tender anymore, and that's part of the problem. That the more we go to a cashless society, the more the government can control everything that we do. They can see every penny we spend. They can control where we spend it. That's not a good thing.
But gold and silver are holding their values beautifully in absolutely. The world. And in times of trouble, people tend to lean and go towards gold and silver. So, you know, Gold Bullion Partners, guys. Their link will be in the show notes. And if you so feel that you want to...
Absolutely. Do your own research. Look into it.
Yeah. And we will carry on buying it ourselves, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
I keep hearing Donald Trump Jr. ads on the radio about gold. Everyone's buying it.
Everyone needs to buy it. I'm going to go and buy a load of jerry cans for the Raptor, as my beautiful, beautiful son said to me yesterday, because he's trying to quantify the whole world by money, and I love him for it, because, you know, what a great place to get to, you're young, to go, it's all about money. And he went, but Harrison said that your truck is, no one could afford to run it. It's that bad with fuel. And I'm like, he's right. It is. Do you mind getting the train tomorrow?
I have. Yeah.
Anyway, I love you, man. How long have we spoken for?
I have no idea.
I don't know how long we've spoken for anyway. I miss you, love you, and it's so nice to see you in a place of peace. I can see that that's peaceful. I can see that window is peaceful. Have you inherited a congregation, or are you building a new one? What's the vibe?
Yep. There's a small congregation here, but we've got to grow it, both in faith and in numbers. Good people, really good people. It's going to take a while, but that's the plan anyway. Get some young people in and get some energy.
Is it like America? Like, when I was in America last, I was driving around and there was just, like, churches everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's a good one, that's a bad one, that's a good one, that's a bad one. Are you in a high concentration church area?
I mean, yeah, there are churches everywhere, but the nearest Episcopal church is gay. Like, they've got the trans pride flag or whatever outside, so no Christian's going to go there. So anyone that sounds Orthodox and Catholic will hopefully be coming down here.
Okay, and is there any rebranding, or is there any...
No, it's St. Paul's Church. We're just going to build up the prayer life. At the moment, it's just a Sunday mass, so we're going to add more services and do more stuff and be out there in the community and welcome people. Inclusivity. All sinners are welcome to be changed through an encounter with Christ.
Sinners' lives matter.
All Christian lives matter. All human lives matter.
Every single human life is sacred.
Absolutely.
Except yours, you tweet that. Well, I might tweet it at some point. Do you think I should?
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I love you. And I will speak to you next week. And I think I'm coming out. When is
it? Yeah, another date.
I'm coming out.
We can do that off camera, don't worry.
All right, I love you.
Love you too, brother. See you soon. Bye-bye.
God bless.